Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM. Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, as it says, a little ears warning here, so you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show as well. But today we're talking about changing appearances. It's something we covered briefly on the show before. Is it okay to have an opinion on your partner's appearance, and is it better to stay quiet about it or just tell them? Well, I have relationship therapist and psychotherapist Rachel Cook on the line. As always, she's usually talking to Jen, but she's talking to me today. Hey, Rachel.
Oh, good to talk to you, Cormac. How's it going?
I'm very well. I never thought the day that I come that I'd be... Actually, I listen to you all the time and I'm writing notes and I need to sort that out now when I get home. I need to do this. Oh, Emily needs to know that. But it's lovely to talk to you for real. But look, on this particular issue, how common is it for someone to feel unhappy about or less attracted to their partner because of their appearance, especially as, you know, the relationship moves along?
Oh, this is so, so common. You know, I would say it's very likely to happen in longer term relationships. It's probably going to happen at least a few times. You know, it's just so, so unlikely that people will maintain that high level of attraction that they, I mean, not everybody has it right at the start of the relationship, but, you know, for most couples, it tends to be higher at the start of the relationship. So there's just so many, you know, relationships are constantly and people are constantly growing and evolving. So it's incredibly common for things to change and for one person, or sometimes it's both people at the same time who feel, you know, either less attracted to their partner or they're sort of fixating on something that has changed.
And so what does it usually tend to be that's changed, you know, if we have to be frank about it?
Yeah, it could be anything. So it can be, you know, hairstyle, as you were talking to somebody earlier, you know, it can be losing of hair. It can be their facial hair. It can be makeup, clothing, you know, their style might change. It can be tattoos. It can be their personal hygiene. You know, that can be a common one that might change over time. It can be someone's body after childbirth. But I would say the most common one, sadly, is weight. That is the most common one, which can be in any direction for sure, but it tends to be because of our society.
I'd say by a country mile, you know, Rachel, if we're honest about it, that's the way society, as you say, the way society we live in, and weight is under the microscope always, that will be the biggest issue.
Big time.
Do you reckon it's better to stay quiet about it, or should you tell your partner in some way?
Oh, you know, it's really divided over this, because I think you have to work it out for yourself first. Like, start with looking at yourself. I think a lot of this is about letting go of the image that you have of how someone was when you started going out with them. You know, things change. People change. It's normal to change. It's also very normal to feel disappointed if, you know, you used to be super attracted to someone for a certain aspect of them and that has changed. But the thing is, you've got to remind yourself, you know, your partner is not your possession. They're not an object. They're their own person. They have bodily autonomy. And, you know, a lot of us have been very trained. We've been conditioned to sort of see partners as a type of possession, you know, a kind of property. And so we can feel quite controlling and entitled about that. And most of us wouldn't like to admit it because it feels, you know, icky. But I think it's an incredibly common thing to have some sense of entitlement. So we've got to look at that in ourselves, you know, first of all, acknowledging, right, there's a part of me that feels like I'm owed the person looking how they did when we started going out. But the thing is, you know, all bodies change. We all age and droop over time. And sometimes we might be more, you know, fit or healthy or whatever it is, and sometimes less so. And, you know, there's also so many other things going on in life, major life changes. People can get sick. People might die. You might have, you know, work stress, all sorts of financial stress, all these things that can be happening. So I think the thing to start with is looking at yourself and considering how important the physical attraction is to this person. Now, hopefully you're not just with your partner because of your physical attraction to them. If you're only with them because of how physically attractive you find them, then you should probably do them, give them the benefit of breaking up with them so you can go and emotionally mature, because you shouldn't be in a relationship if you're only with them for how they look. However, it's also a very important part of relationships for many people, you know, that you want to be sexually attracted to them. So I would say consider first how important it is to you, whether there might be other things going on in your life. Is there maybe unresolved resentment between you that you could be misplacing attraction on that? And then also looking at, you know, where did we learn these messages about what bodies are supposed to look like, which might sound a bit sort of fluffy, but like, you know, there's such a focus in certain areas of society and on, you know, particularly on women. But, you know, I would also say it's not just about women, it's all genders and different sexualities, that there can be, you know, just a hyper focus on being super thin.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Instagram and so on and so forth, it's. You know, it's probably worse than it's ever been. Well, what about some of the ways not to say to your partner or the loved one in your life about if you want to approach them changing their physical appearance, that something they can do something about? What would you not say to them?
Yeah, so I would say don't start by saying I'm not attracted to you anymore, I don't fancy you, or, you know, being very blatant about like I don't like your hair or you look overweight. You know, these sorts of things are extremely hurtful. You know, people, you have to think about the other person's feelings. So also, you're not acting like it's their fault. Again, going back to this idea, you don't own your partner. They are their full, you know, self, separate person to you. And so they don't actually owe you anything, you know, other than, you know, sort of respect. And so that's a way to not go about it, you know, is to don't try to change them. You know, no amount of bullying, harassing, guilting, trying to guilt someone into changing them is going to work. You know, it might work for a very short period of time, but realistically, they're going to massively resent you and lose trust in you. So, you know, those are some ways to not do it.
So, but there has to be a way to approach these things on some level.
There sure is, you know, and I think now we have to be careful about focusing on health, because what a lot of people will say is, well, let's focus on health, especially if it's around weight, right? If someone has put on weight, what I'm going to do is focus on how I want them to be healthy. I want us to have, you know, a long, healthy life together. You know, and I think there's a time and a place for that. You can certainly go about talking about maybe if you used to do more physical things together, you know, often just in the humdrum of daily life, especially if you've been together for a long time, you're working hard, maybe you've got kids, you know, often people lapse into not spending anywhere near as much quality time together. So often where they used to do activities together, they just, you know, don't find the time anymore. And, you know, there can be lots of comfort in longer term relationships, but it can also sometimes begin to feel quite boring and stagnant. And so a good way to go about that can be just to start having more quality time connecting over doing more activities and sports and things like that together. But I would be careful about using that as a kind of manipulative way to go about moving into like wanting someone to change.
Because people aren't stupid, aren't they? Not Rachel. You know, if you suddenly say to somebody, why don't we start running together? You know, it's a bit patronizing, isn't it? Because they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
They almost certainly will. You know, if that's something that you're hyperfixating on, then they will know that. But I think there's still a space for you to be able to say, you know, to again, focus on yourself first. If you recognize where this might be coming from, that you're bothered by how your partner looks, and then, you know, focus on how you might be able to spend more time together. I think that can be a great way to focus on being a bit more romantic and also doing things that are more stimulating and connecting together. Again, often physical attractiveness or a physical attraction to your partner is so intimately connected with how emotionally close to them you feel, how emotionally attracted to them you are. So doing different things, new things together can provide that novelty that can often make you feel, you know, much more sexually attracted to them as well.
So like trying to, if I understand you right, not trying to change them per se, it's more about trying to understand why you think the way you do and trying to alter that relationship rather than trying to just bluntly change the way they look.
Exactly that. And also then recognizing that you can grow together. You know, sometimes people just grow apart, and also it's totally fine to have preferences. We all have. Nearly everyone will have physical preferences in their partners. And yes, I think it's very good to question where that's come from. And why, you know, especially when we're being kind of, you're bombarded by images from, as you said, you know, social media, media in general, of people looking a very particular way, it can really restrict our view of what attraction is. You know, even when we talk about porn, you know, the thing for me about mainstream porn, it's not that porn in itself is necessarily a problem. It's that it usually presents such a specific body type and also sort of power dynamics between genders that becomes a problem, because when we are only shown, you know, a very limited, you know, sort of depiction of how people sort of are, then we start to believe that that's how they should be, that, you know, all women should be a size six or less, or that all men should be muscular and tall and have a full head of hair, when actually there is such a range of things that we can find attractive and be attracted to, and that we can develop that over time. You know, I think that this for most people is not, it's not innate. It's not innate that you would only be attracted to muscular or skinny people. This is something that is developed and shaped through our exposure to media. So that can be a really good one as well, is to look into that yourself, and also, you know, just do a bit of self-work on questioning where your ideas about what's attractive and what's healthy and what's right to be have come from.
There's a text here, Rachel. It says, Cormac, I have lost the physical attractiveness to my partner, but Rachel is so right. I am still connected to her emotionally and love her personality so much, which is sustaining our love. Sadly, it does mean our sex life has dwindled significantly. Any advice on how to address this without saying something negative? And that's from Ron. I think you were kind of dealing with that a little bit earlier on, weren't you?
Yeah, so that's something, you know, absolutely you can say. Like, some people will choose to say, it depends on, you know, you've got to weigh up. You're not going to know exactly how the other person's going to take it. But sometimes, you know, especially if you end up saying it insensitively, you can end up damaging the trust between you so much. You know, if a person is now knows that you're feeling less attracted to them, they can end up hyper fixating on that. And then, you know, it can really damage the sort of general affection and intimacy between you, because they've lost a lot of trust and they feel extremely self-conscious. But I think, you know, working out exactly what it is, and then you can focus on how can you connect in ways that feel, you know, sometimes it's that we really love our partner, but things are, you know, a bit too sort of comfortable. They're a bit boring. So that's where this stimulation, although it might sound a bit cliched, you know, I've worked with hundreds of couples who've been very surprised by how much more sexually attracted they've become to their partner once they start doing activities that don't have to be just physical activities, but, you know, it could be sort of, you know, intellectual, fun, adventurous things that will, you know, have them feel more connected and just more interested in their partner, because often that understandably wanes over time, because we are creatures who, you know, we get used to things and we desire novelty to keep us interested, and often, you know, for all sorts of reasons that can end up lacking in longer term relationships.
Yeah, 100%. And do you think that there's a lot of double standards between genders with regards to appearance?
I think there are.
Yeah,
there's quite a lot. You know, I do think that is changing quite rapidly, which is great. But I think there are still certain demographics, like the kind of pressure that women especially are under from mainstream society to be thin. They're supposed to be feminine but strong, approachable yet mysterious, sexy but modest. And these expectations change from setting to setting. So people are getting sort of, you know, women, I think, in some ways especially, are, you know, just treated really disrespectfully and badly in this way. But I also see this in massive parts of queer and gay culture as well. You know, is this like just a hyper focus on physicality, on people's, on looks, and, you know, that changes over time, as we well know. If you look back to kind of, you know, hark back to Renaissance times, what was attractive was to have, you know, was to be much larger. And, you know, even cellulite was seen as being something very attractive. And, you know, that has changed over time. Even in the last century, you know, you can see throughout the decades how we've changed from the sort of valuing and finding attractive a more curvy Marilyn Monroe figure, to then going to sort of Twiggy and Kate Moss, and that what was called heroin chic, mm-hmm. You know, and now that's changed to the sort of Kardashian, you know, sort of like facial cosmetic fillers style look of this very hourglass sort of completely, you know, quite an unnatural body type that very few people would, you know, kind of naturally have. But that these concepts of beauty are constantly changing, and it's extremely difficult and a lot of pressure and money to keep up with them. So, you know, this is definitely applying to all genders, but I think it is interesting to look at the gender and sexuality aspect of different communities and kind of pockets of where people are at and who they identify with and kind of idealize.
Yeah, and I would say men are not completely left out of the equation as well. I certainly would feel conscious about the images that I see everywhere. You know, you see all the guys on Love Island and you look at them and you go, yeah. Oh my God, how could I pass? I'm so total, I feel like a loser when I'm looking at these kind of things, you know. And I'm sure there's many men who sort of, who'd fail to admit it or pretend they don't really care that much. But I think that would be the case a lot of the time.
It definitely is, you know, as you talked about to the person earlier about hair loss, you know, even like terms like this isn't such a popular phrase anymore, but a phrase that was going around a few years ago and seems to be a little bit popping up again now is the term like big dick energy or small dick energy. And it's like even that, although it might be sort of tongue in cheek, it's supposed to be a sort of funny phrase that's referring to someone being sort of dominant or confident or at ease with themselves. It's still sort of creating this dichotomy of how body parts should look in order to be acceptable and good. You know, the big dick energy makes you a good person. It's still implying that, you know, the best kind of penis to have is a big one. And it's like that might be some people's preference. But again, it's this focus on a binary of good, bad, right or wrong that ends up being really damaging, because so rarely do, you know, the majority of people even fit into that. So then it means that the majority of people go around feeling inadequate in some way. And realistically, no one is ever going to have a consistently perfect body, partly because the expectations of and standards of beauty are changing all the time anyway. So it's just absolutely exhausting and leads people to, you know, various states of exhaustion, depression, anxiety, and spending their time, energy and money on trying to look a certain way in order to feel, you know, good enough, to feel accepted, which is just horrific.
And often taking it to the ultimate extremes as well. There's a text here. Rachel and Cormac, I got in touch with the show when you mentioned this topic briefly last week. My partner has changed his physical appearance a huge amount. He hasn't put on weight, quite the opposite. He has lost a lot of weight and started doing triathlons. So he's very, very lean now. I do not like the look and I really don't like the lifestyle changes that go with being so fit. I know I could say something, but I'm honestly worried he will take it the wrong way. I'm more concerned that we have less in common now. So the physical changes are a byproduct of a bigger issue, I would think. That's going the opposite direction. I would imagine if you marry somebody who's gets suddenly, or partner somebody, or you know, just living with them, whatever, and their body changes in a massive way due to exercise. You know, you're dealing with the same sets of problems.
You definitely are, and I think that the person who's written in there is, you know, that demonstrates to me a good level of self-reflection in that they've recognized that it's about a larger thing. And it was something I was going to say earlier, you know, maintaining weight, whether that's to be extremely fit or very thin or very sort of muscular, you know, it takes a huge amount of effort. It's a lot of time and often money to be doing that. And so sometimes, although we might want, you know, our own body or our partner's body to be a certain way, or we have a preference in that area, sometimes the amount of work that comes with that does not feel worth it. So that might be something that this person can approach it as, talking about how they're worried about us not having so much in common anymore, or they're worried about the, you know, the intellectual or emotional connection between them because they don't have so many things that maybe before they used to spend time watching films together and talking about films or books or, you know, another sort of activity, where now if their partner is very, very focused on, you know, cooking certain food, having to do all the grocery shopping for that, you know, all the food preparation that's involved, all of the exercise, the planning, the weekends, you know, spending hours doing that, it's like, well, that's not so much about the person's appearance, as they've said. It's more about the lifestyle that they have together. So that's a very good way to approach that, to do it from an, you know, me point of view, but talk about yourself. Like, I'm worried about, you know, our sort of connection and where our relationship is at in terms of how we, you know, live our lifestyles and spend our time. And I'd love to talk to you about how we might balance that a bit better. I think that's a great way to approach it.
Finally, Rachel, before I let you go, last question. Does it mean that you're a terrible person if the change that you want in someone is a deal breaker for you.
You know, I have so many people coming to me feeling deep guilt and shame about this. And, you know, as I think I said earlier, people are growing and relationships are growing and evolving constantly. Sometimes it's just run its course. You've grown apart. What you're attracted to or want in your life changes over time, and you're not obliged to be with someone. You know, if you have, you know, kids together, if you have responsibilities together, that is, you know, I think worth getting lots of support on to see how you might be able to make that feasibly work for both of you because of the, you know, amount of strife of extricating yourself from that. Not that I'm trying to say that people should stay together for kids, but, you know, that you put the effort in to trying to make that work potentially. But that, you know, at the end of the day, people change. You're not obliged to be in a relationship, and you're not a bad person just because you have preferences. That's okay too.
Well, Rachel, like it's a really tricky area, and thank you so much for shining a light on it, because I've learned a lot about it just in this last 15 minutes of how to approach these kind of things. And thanks again. You'll be talking to Jen next week. You'll be glad to hear.
Yeah, good stuff. Hope to talk to you again, Carmen.
Absolutely. Anyway, Rachel, that's Rachel Cook, a psychotherapist and mental health consultant. Thank you so much for that. And you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook, and she'll be back with us next week. So if you have a question that you would like us to put to her, get in touch with the team 24 hours, 7 days a week on jen@rte.ie. Just send an email to jen@rte.ie with whatever issue that you're having, and we will try and deal with that for you, or get Rachel at least to deal with it. Still to come, we'll be calling one of you back to give you tickets to Picture This, but you have to answer that phone. We'll be making that call next, so stay with us.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.